This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Give my guests the option of where to sit.
All right.
Man, didn't hesitate. Quite often there's a hesitation.
Well, I've been in this room before with Gareth, and I'm always there.
Okay.
And he's always here, so I thought...
And you're feeling like, oh, I'm a guest.
I'm the guest now. Okay. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right.
All right, and so... And we will end the conversation with... a question from my daughter.
Who's, how old's your daughter?
She is about to be 7. What's today? The 7th? She'll be 8 days.
I got twin 10-year-old girls.
Twin 10-year-olds. Yeah. Ooh, that's a lot. meaning, how much advanced time did you have to when you found out you were having twins? First kids, I'm assuming.
First kids. Yeah. How much time? Well, I remember we got whatever that was, the first ultrasound or whatever it was. And then we went to our doctor, and I think she was 3 months pregnant. My wife was 3 months pregnant.
Your doctor was 3 months pregnant?
Yes, he was.
Okay. And that was part of an experiment?
Yes. All of this has been an experiment.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Right. It's been cool.
And it's worked out.
Well, it's in the experiment.
And so your wife and your doctor gave birth roughly the same time?
Yes, exactly right.
Oh, cool.
One each. And we call them twins.
Oh, so you're raising your doctor's daughter
and one of
and your
yes. Well, my wife. It's not my technical daughter. My wife had an affair with another guy.
Yeah,
had one baby.
Okay,
that's one of my twins.
Okay,
the doctor had a baby. That's right. The other one of my twins. And when you said it's only them, that is true. But I do have other kids.
I understand. Yeah. You're raising them.
As my twins.
Yeah, and you guys were able to get past the adultery.
Yeah.
And
yeah, well, I don't see them.
You don't see the kids?
Not very often, no.
Okay.
They live at the house with the man she cheated on me with, her now husband.
Oh, so things worked out for her. That sounds great.
I think for all of us.
And then you, and then it's almost like a little extra money
yeah.
because you're helping, it's a free sitter. It's free,
that's
you
exactly
know.
How I
yeah,
see.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
All right,
so
cool.
I just give the checks.
Okay, so you still use checks. That's interesting, yeah?
How else would I get the money from my bank account to theirs?
PayPen, Vemoden.
Always bits with this guy.
Zwilly.
always fake words.
There's a ton of like...
Yeah, I'm either going to do that or I'm going to do a Musha Musha, Bunga, Luga Luga, or I'll just write a check.
Yeah, but see, those words you made up are not based on a real word.
Right.
Mine were...
Zilly Zilly?
Zell?
Zell?
Zell, yeah, it's a...
Okay, then I'll also use mul.
For what? What's your base word?
The same as you, fakey words.
What's your base word? When I said PayPen.
PayPen.
Is not like, is PayPal. And then I said...
PayPal.
And then I said...
Buddy Pal.
Well, a bit late, but... and then what was the other one? What's the other... Oh, Vemon or whatever. It's like Venmo.
What the hell's Venmo?
Oh, God.
You're making up fake words and calling them banks.
Yeah, it's not a bank. It's a, I don't know how it works. It's like, well, you
so
should
you
know
because
you're a Bitcoin guy. You're a big crypto guy.
Of course I am. Yeah. Dogecoin.
You got a little thing, right? Thanks. On the beard?
Yeah.
You got it.
Dogecoin is what I'm into. It's the dog coins.
I love those. They're cute. What was it? Oh, and also, you've been here before,
yeah.
So you know you can avail yourself of the fake grapes if you'd like.
I love it.
And we have four colors. They're variations of two different colors. We got a light green and a dark green, a dark purple, and a light purple.
But why do you hide them all the way there? Not present.
That was my question. Right. I brought that up. Thank you.
You have fake grapes, but they're not on camera.
Thank you, Jake. Yes, yeah. That's exactly. That was my issue. Like, why are they? They're like, oh, it's set decoration. It kind of perks the place up. Well, why are you hiding it? Yeah. Well, it's in the. You know.
We're cutting all of this.
Yeah.
Well,
and
we should...
your set, because we've obviously recorded here, you guys get, you get the purples.
Yeah, that's...
Is that Anya or is that yours? Who chose that?
That's, you know, purple is the color of royalty, and I did a 23andMe and an Ancestry.com, nice. And I am directly related to, not Shabba Ranks. Who is it? It's the... Sean John.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah, so
that's shocking.
I was surprised.
You should be.
I was really,
I'm really
like,
happy for
you. I didn't think.
Yeah, I've done a 23. I didn't get anybody famous.
So who
nobody.
Did you get?
Just no, my grandparents.
Are they famous?
No, that's what I mean. Like, yeah. I did it because I've heard so many different people have great stories like yours where they get the Sean Johns of the world, they get all these big stars, you know. And so I was like, I'll pay the money.
Yeah.
And then I just got, like, I guess my lineage. I got, like, I guess where...
It's like a scratch-off card, you know, I mean, like, oh, here's $20.
But
what do I get?
Was, you got a million. I got lost.
Well, I got $10,000 a week for a life. Yeah. So it was, you know, so in the sense of who
Sean
I'm related to. Sean John's huge. And I'm...
And now you're connected, so that... Congrats,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I'm directly related to him. He is my great great grandfather.
No way.
Yeah, he came over from Russia.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's fucking awesome.
And reinvented himself, you know? It's an American tale.
Interesting.
It's a tale as old as America
did
itself.
Did he do the
so
whole
close to 300
did he come
years.
To New York, Lower East Side, struggled, had kids?
Tenement, yeah.
Yeah. And then at what point did he start making music?
Like 20 years ago?
And just blew up.
Blew up, yeah.
I know the name. What is what music does, like... That's traditional Russian.
Yes.
So he took his pass and made it a fucking hit.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't use the F word, but yeah.
Made it a hit.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's lazy. But yeah.
It's also excitement. It's not a choice.
I want to start, and I want to start with the same question I ask everybody who comes on here.
Great.
Same. Where do you stand? Israel v. Palestine.
Go. Where do you stand?
Well, I'll answer that and
I'll
give you...
that after you.
That's not how it works.
Well, I'm the guest.
Exactly. I'm the host. So
and
this is
the,
house rules.
Yes, but as a guest, you've invited me here.
Yeah.
So I'm the guest.
And I'm sorry, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't you just say twice, I believe, that you often record here?
Yeah.
So we're sharing the house, aren't we?
Yes.
Jake, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having
me. Show. Absolutely. And we've just re-met because I mere minutes ago did your podcast next door.
Yes, you were. We're here to help. We appreciated that.
What?
We're here to help.
Oh, yes.
Also a HeadGum podcast.
Yeah. Well, that's the convenience of, that's why I signed up with them.
Yeah, same.
You know,
But what I will say to you, David, and I started saying it before, but Mr. Show was a very important show in my life.
Well, thank you. This isn't about me. This is, it's not here. About you.
Right.
Okay. I appreciate it. I'm going to jump into, well, no, I'll save that for later. Okay. I'll save it for later. And I'm not... completely, wholly familiar with your work. I only saw a couple episodes of Friends. I mean, I've seen them here and there on the plane, and you know. They're in the background.
Who did you think I am on that?
On Friends?
Yeah.
You're the quirky one? Spunky.
The quirky one just passed away.
Oh.
Who do you think I am on
Toby
Friends?
Toby Keith?
No.
Toby Keith wasn't on Friends.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't the quirky one.
Fuck. God damn it. What's your name again?
Casey,
Google yourself and Google Toby Keith Friends vis-a-vis question mark. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We'll find out that answer.
Great. Perfect.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why are you asking me? You would know, right?
Well, because you said you don't know my work a lot, but you saw me on Friends. So I said, who am I on Friends?
Oh, right.
And you said the quirky one, and I said, I think the quirky one.
Oh, so not
away.
The quirky one. So I didn't, but then I didn't know Toby Keith was on Friends. I had no idea.
Yeah.
But I guess he was. I stand corrected.
Yes.
But you also worked with I'm gonna space on his name, but
describe him physically.
He's really like kind of an everyman type of guy. He was in fucking Better Call Saul. He was
give me a little bit more.
He was he plays like three kind of characters. They're all the same guy, but he plays like three iterations of the same guy in Better Call Saul. It's both a prequel and a postquel to Breaking Bad, which is a animated series. it's pretty amazing.
You've seen it?
Yeah. It's about drugs. But you have worked Bob.
Yes, Bob.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bob Oakendorf, I believe. and you've worked with Bob, and you were on an early show of his that he produced called Derek and Simon.
Correct.
With Derek Waters and Simon. Say it again.
Helberg.
No.
Yep. 100%. I'm 100%. I know it for sure. I'm positive. Who do you think it is?
Heisenberg?
Nope. That, I think, is Breaking Bad.
Am I conflating the two?
I think you are.
Derek and Simon with Breaking Bad.
Yes, you are.
Oh, yes. Boy. I don't want to make that mistake again. So you were on, and that's going way back. That's...
I think we did that in 2006. Yeah.
Man, remember those days?
Yeah.
God. That was pre-COVID and just post 9/11. So, man, they were... That was
That's
rough,
how everybody describes that era.
2006 was... That was a rough time.
Yeah.
You know. While it was happening, it was... we look back on it and go, that's pretty good.
Look back fondly.
Yeah. And how was that working with Bob?
Sincerely?
Yeah.
It's great. Bob knew Derek, and Derek had worked with... He was working with Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all... My whole generation, Mr. Show was everything to us. Because we all did sketch, and we all copied Mr. Show.
It was fun.
It was a fucking... For us, we used to watch it on VHS, so it was the beginning of all of our sketch shows copied your transitions. Mm. The way you guys did, like, three-dimensional characters, we all thought, like, oh, we could also act and do this.
Yeah.
So
that's
it was
cool.
Huge, man.
Where were you doing the show?
I started off I'm from Chicago, and then I went to New York, so I was in the early UCB, but we didn't want to go through the hierarchy, so we had just written our own play, and we used to tour it around and do sketch festivals and fringe festivals and rent theaters in the Lower East Side, like the old Surf Reality, Collective Unconscious.
Oh, that's going way back.
Way back.
Yeah.
And we could rent the space for $150, charge $3, and try to, like, break even.
Yeah.
But everything we were doing, we would go back to Mr. Show as the goal. And how our transition were, how our characters were, what the sketches were. And so Derek called, the first time I met Bob was, I just moved to LA, I met Derek, he invites me to some bar, we're having a drink, and he said, my friend Bob's going to come, is that cool? And I said, yeah, and fucking Odenkirk walks in.
Oh, that's great.
And it was an out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
And Bob was like, really nice, but Bob.
Yeah.
So he just comes in, and he's like, hey, what's going on? And he's fast, and he's just dominating conversation. And he leaves, and I go to Derek, and I'm like, hey, man, I just moved here from Chicago. I need a fucking warning. I'm comfortable with you, our other buddy, Eric Simon. If your friend Bob is Bob Odenkirk, say the last name.
Yeah.
And so then we got a word that he was doing these things, and he directed us, and we just, anything he said, you know, we just kind of did it. But what was really fun, we just went to San Francisco Sketch Festival and did a panel for it, but no one in the audience had ever heard of it. So it was this, like, really funky programming move.
I got to say, when I saw the lineup, and I love sketch fests. I've done it I don't even know, 6, 7, 8, 9 times. I don't know. But it's always a blast and I enjoy doing it. But there are you'll see the lineup happens every year and you're like, wow.
What is that one?
Really? And then, but I was like psyched to see that it was getting its due.
Well, I mean, I think they wanted Bob there. Yeah. And Bob would do this, and mm-hmm. then Derek and Simon agreed, and then Derek, who, you know, wants Eric and I to come, said, like, just for one night, let's go to San Fran. And I would just say yes to hang with everyone, and I didn't give it thought until we were backstage, and then mm-hmm. they showed the pilot, which did not have Eric and I in it, because it used to be an HBO show, mm-hmm. and Galifianakis was in that.
Well, that's what I know it as.
So what happened is they did it at HBO with Galifianakis and Bill Hader, so they show that to the group.
But they're expecting.
Well, then they go, guess what? We have a lot of special guests. And then
none of them are Zach or Bill.
It's fucking me and my buddy Eric. and they didn't show ours. So then we're up there in a panel.
Well, that's weird.
The whole thing
was
weird.
Did you dress that?
A little bit, because we were part of the Super Deluxe group. Uh-huh. Super Deluxe was like some weird site that used to give away money.
Dude, I remember. Yes. I mean, part of me feels bad, but only 10%. Yeah. But I signed this thing for Super Deluxe. I got $90,000 yes. to do 5 shorts.
Amazing.
Great. And I wrote up some scripts, or maybe 4. Yeah. Maybe 4.
Incredible.
$90,000. And it was one of those things. I was working on something else at the time. I'm like, okay, yeah. And I sent them 2 scripts, and they're like, okay, great. They're very, 3-minute, like a commercial parody or a small, you know. And then, okay, we need those other scripts. Yeah, I've got the 2 ideas. I got to work them out. Sorry, I'm really busy. Okay, take your time, but don't take that much time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it kept going on and on. And then after like 2 months of them checking in every 10 days or so, so sorry. I'm working. I got a producer lined up. And then they folded.
Oh, they did. So you just got the 90 for nothing.
I just got the 90,000 for nothing.
There was an era there where they were giving away money.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know what the internet was going to be.
Well, that's still happening.
Yes, but it's different. Yeah. It is different, though.
I mean, I mean, it's shocking. I make $27,000 per episode.
Of this?
Of this, yeah.
What's up, Anya? Fuck you, HeadGum Studios. We're going back to our garage. but that era was, I remember Derek called and they said, HBO passed. But this place called Super Deluxe, you know what Derek wanted to do and he just didn't do, but I would have loved? He wanted to get those shirt shooters.
Oh, a t-shirt gun?
At the panel, be like, Super Deluxe! Make it all about Super Deluxe. But it was one of those ridiculous panels because the whole day was great. You know, we had like lunch. I told you the thing with Bob from lunch. He then wanted to walk back to the hotel.
Oh, that's great.
Which was a 2-mile walk up hills.
Good for him.
It was great. Yeah. But the panel was one of these moments where Eric and I were sitting up there and no one had seen us in it yet.
Yeah. They've got no questions.
No questions. Yeah. And so, but what's funny about Bob, and I didn't know this because in 2006, I just, whatever he said, we did. And then we've all had our careers and then we kind of met up again. We then take a break. They show some clips. Simon and I are backstage. And honestly, I'm just like, this is going well for you three. I don't know why Eric and I are here, but Bob's also a boss. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that was, your guys' dynamic was different, I'm sure, because you were peers. But Bob just walks by me and goes, hey, start talking up there. I went like, I don't even remember these shorts. I don't know why I'm here. But you get that great charge of like, oh shit, yeah. Bob told me to talk. Fucking talk.
So what'd you talk about?
I think I probably talked about other, I just started talking.
Yeah.
It would be a question and they would go, how'd you shoot that? And I would just be like, if Bob said talk, start talking, have somebody else jump in.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fun to do.
Also, I do want to point out to those listening or watching, I do not make $27,000 per episode. I don't think I even make $27,000. It's a labor of love.
What got you into the podcast game?
Well, to be honest, my team had been...
Team by being agents, managers team?
Yes. Encouraging me for a long time to do a podcast. Not a ton of pressure, but just like, do it, it'll help, whatever. And I wasn't interested, not because I have any negative feelings towards podcasts. I just didn't want to do this additional thing that would take up this time that could be otherwise spent somewhere else. And I understood what they were saying. Like if you specifically with touring, with doing stand-up, you will... If you have a good podcast, you will sell more tickets. Right. It's just that simple. And And then I started maybe like, I want to say 3, 4, 5 years ago, press for promotion for projects was a lot less about, you know, morning, Good Morning America,
totally,
and,
right,
you know, late night with whoever. And it was more about, and then doing the press things, and it was more about podcasts. That was a kind of introduced as a—
because it's also a bigger reach.
Yep. And I really enjoyed— I'd come out to LA and I'd, you know, knock out 4, 5, 6 podcasts, and always got a real sense of like, oh, this is so much
totally
better.
It's fun.
Than— it's fun. It's a real conversation. Yep. And I enjoyed it.
Same.
So when I started looking at it like that, I was like, you know what? I will do one. Mm-hmm. And then here's a little addendum to it. So instead of— there's a podcast agent, actually. I mean, there's agents—
oh, yeah.
that are podcast— yes. agents, which is crazy, but, you know, that's the business. And so I get on the phone with him. I had never met him before, and my manager and some other people, and we're talking about— and I wrote up— they had me write a little pitch, and it was just like, I'm a world-renowned talker. I've been talking since I was about 3. I'm good at it. I've had conversations, whatever, and I want to talk to my friends and interesting people. So they go, okay, you need a hook. And the hook is me talking to people. Yes. No, that doesn't work.
This is really? What your agent said.
Yeah. This is like last year, or a summer and a half ago. And I'm like, what's the hook? I don't know. Well, you got to figure out a hook. So fucking 6 weeks goes by, and I'm thinking about it. You know, I'll be walking down the street doing errands. Like, what's the hook of a podcast? I don't know. And then it hit me out of the blue. I was like, the 5 senses. That'll be the jumping off point,
right,
for the conversation. Great. Sounds good. Went and pitched it. And then immediately, and I mean immediately, doing the podcast, having fun, it's any fear or hesitations I had were allayed immediately, because I did Bob and Janine Garofalo and all these people, and it was just fun, and never once talked about.
I think
I asked Eugene a question, and there was one other person. That was it.
Yes.
Never.
Is the game of agents and development, though.
But it's like now I don't want to say stuck with, but, and I got a really cool theme song by Mark Rivers. I got this lovely artwork, and it has nothing to— what I was saying to them, which still applies, is who gives a shit?
Yeah.
No one gives a fuck. No one's going to go, I don't know if I'm going to listen to David Cross's podcast.
He's doing the 5 senses.
Oh, wait, he's talking about things that you hear? Okay.
Well, I would like to hear the 5 senses.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Do you ever feel like money is just flying out of your account and you have no idea where it's going? It could be all those subscriptions. Think about it. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, parenting apps, it's endless. Did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? And if I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? Probably not. Rocket Money can help you find out what subscriptions you're actually spending money on. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. You can see all of your subscriptions in one place, and if you see something you don't want, you can cancel it with a tap. You'll never have to get on the phone with customer service. They'll even try to get you a refund for the last couple of months of wasted money and negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is take a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Hey, stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/senses. That's rocketmoney.com/senses. One more time, this should do it. rocketmoney.com/senses.
Yeah, but the podcast, the game is interesting. It's funny that you say that, because what I really find interesting about it is that the whole press model has changed.
Mm-hmm.
The old world of press has changed, and I just did a movie.
In a better way, I think.
A way more interesting way.
Yeah.
But this was the first movie where, in terms of when I start getting the press, I used to think that it was just our job and you have to say yes to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that what the business puts in front of you, you'd go like, fuck.
Yeah.
All right, now I'm going for 5 days and I have to go do this.
Junkets.
Junkets. Not only that, worse. I used to, when I was doing New Girl, we used to tour around and have to go city by city and do local affiliates in the morning. And that's just what you did.
Yeah.
For this new one, I was talking to my publicist about it, and there was a podcast called Dope as Usual. Mm-hmm. Just two guys who have like a little room near the Home Depot. They smoke a ton of weed. There's weed everywhere, and you just bullshit. And when it started, I was ready to pitch my movie the way I'm like used to doing it. And the guy goes, I watched your movie last night. I have a good take on it. Mm-hmm. And I go like, cool, man. Like, do you want to start and you do it? He pitched me the movie in a way where I'm like, oh, you get it, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, because I didn't realize, but he's like, you made a stoner thriller. Well, I'm not a big stoner. So I was like, I didn't think that's what it was. But while he was talking, I'm like, oh, I'm not getting this interview on Good Morning America.
And nowhere else.
On Good Morning America, I'm not landing anything.
Yeah.
I'm just there.
Yeah.
And then I finish. And I don't think anybody from that is going to watch my projects.
Yeah.
But I just do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, I'll go do the Kelly Ripa thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try my hardest. I know the audience doesn't like me, but I'm just here.
Why do you know the audience doesn't like you?
Because I've done it, and it never lands. I'll like have a story that will go in like the pre-interview.
Boo!
Or you get even worse. You'll get like the joke moment. You'll get, and you're like, just get me out of here. I'll see Kelly Ripa and Ryan Seacrest's eyes die in the middle of my stories. Yeah. Where I'm like, I know you're thinking about what's next. I can see on the clock, I got 2 more minutes.
Jake, what are you gonna, you got a Halloween costume plan? What would that be?
You wanna hear the biggest die I've ever done on one of those?
Yeah.
So my brother and I grew up diehard Steve Harvey fans, not ironically. Mm-hmm. When he did, but, but I need
you
to
have
say,
to qualify
I do.
Okay.
But I do, because I feel like, you know, there's a way, and part of the story is that.
Mm-hmm.
But we watched him do Apollo and we loved him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing press for something and I get an invite to do the Steve Harvey show, but I'd have to fly to Chicago to do it. And I didn't want to do it, but I had to tell my brother that I had this opportunity. And he's like, if you pass on this motherfucker, you're passing on like something we love together.
Mm-hmm.
So I go like, you're not wrong, but what if we did it together? So I talk to the producer and I go, we'll do it, but can we do like a makeover? Because remember how Steve Harvey for a while was doing like makeovers?
I don't.
Okay. Fair, fair. So Steve Harvey used to do like style makeovers for a while on his show. And he would like kill you and make fun of you and then dress you up and tell you how good you looked. So I'm like,
you to look like Steve Harvey?
Yes.
Yes. Like, all right.
Agree.
But, so like, okay. I don't
so
know.
Look, like, our premise had holes in it.
Mm-hmm.
But we pitched it and said, like, rather than Jake just talking about the movie, what if we have Steve Harvey do a makeover on Jake? And then at the end of the episode, you dress him up and he comes out. And then we just, like, say, and the movie's blank in theaters mm-hmm. now. The producer said, like, we love this idea. So they're like, great. So we heightened how bad of a dresser I am. We had the cast of
Wait,
the...
So it was a little downplayed from this?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not calling the kettle, my king.
Well, I'm not, but I don't have any, I'm not under the...
We're literally wearing the same outfit, but you have a
I know, but
on.
I'm not, I don't think that I'm not saying that I dress nicely.
Yes, like, neither, but this doesn't need a makeover. This is fine.
No, I agree.
But
I agree.
So we heightened it, and so, you know...
So, all right, so how do you heighten that?
I'll tell you.
Okay.
So we get to the Steve Harvey show.
I'm listening.
Mean, is this going well
just
or bad?
Just get to it.
I'm trying. Your fucking podcast story took 3 minutes. Trim some of that. Speaking of why you don't listen to podcasts, do the five sentence. So I get there. I'm wearing short corduroy shorts.
Oh, that's good.
I'm wearing flip flops and then like a weird sweater on top. I would never wear that on television in a million years. We get there. We're excited to meet Steve. Right before the producer goes, we haven't told Steve the premise, but he's going to like it. I'm backstage about to go on in 2 minutes in short shorts.
Bad.
And that's what I went.
That's not a good idea.
And I
guys.
Went, I don't think we do this. I go, you have to tell him. And they go, Steve's just been so, Steve Harvey turns the corner. I'm with my brother. He thinks I'm a member of the crew. Because he just goes, he's like, all right, what do we, okay. And then they go, this is Jake. He's on the show. And he goes, you're on my show? And I go, yes. And he goes, why are you dressed like that? And I go, because I need help with style. And he goes, yeah, you do. You don't look TV ready. And then my brother goes, we're really big fans. And he goes, no, you're not. You're fucking with me. And we go, no, we're not. He goes, wow. All right, we get on the show. He has no sense of humor about it. He's mad at me. He thinks I have mental problems. Because he's like...
He thinks you're fucking with him. You're taking the piss, yeah,
and
right?
And what I'm saying, I'm not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then he goes, then you're fucking, your brain is broken. Because if you're not messing with me, why would you come on television in short cut-off corduroys and flip-flops?
Yeah.
And I'm in front of his audience and they're with him.
So did you come out and what...
Yes, we do the segment.
And what did he say? Did he...
He's trying to do an interview with me like he's doing press. And then he would go like... Why are you wearing shorts on TV, son? Mm-hmm. And I'm going like, I've got a problem with style. And it goes sideways. In between the break.
This is a great story.
But it was a nightmare
would you,
to live
Would
through.
You tell it on my podcast?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Which sense is it?
Touch.
Touch.
Yeah.
So part of the bit was going to be, you know, then when we change, we put his clothes on. One of the things I thought I had a beard, I'd shave into the mustache. And then he could go like, now you look good. Mm-hmm. The makeup people and the producer came in and said, don't do the mustache bit. And we're like, okay. And then the hair and makeup guy goes, I haven't seen him hate a guest this much in a long time. And my brother goes, we bail. We walk. I go, we can't walk. We have to do it. So then they put me in a Steve Harvey suit, three pieces with everything. I still own the suit. It's tight fitting. It's his style. I'm standing behind a big poster of me as he's introing the bit in between the commercial. He's not happy. He doesn't like it. Thing comes up. He just luckily talks about what he likes about the suit. We get out of there. The point of the story is it did nothing for the movie. It was no fun. It was a total nightmare. And that's the sense of touch.
I mean, that
but
encapsulates it.
One.
Yeah. It's well, that's a good story. I if he's going to be upset with anybody, it'd be the producers.
Agreed.
Which he should be.
Agreed.
And so should you. And so should your publicity.
Yes. Well,
people,
there was no. We did it via email ourselves, and they later it was that he was really stressed, and they just didn't get to it. But they did kill us on that. And in the world of podcast,
oh, that's a terrible. I mean,
agree.
For them not to say anything,
it put him in a bad spot. It put us in a bad
spot.
It's
just dumb.
Yes.
It's,
but now that it's over, when we left and I was in his suit and my brother and I are in the town car, probably the hardest he and I have laughed in 10 years. my brother, they pull him on stage and my brother who's not in the game, when they do the suit, there's a shot of my brother and he's releasing stress where they go like, now get ready to see the new Jake Johnson. And I'm in this suit going like this. And then it cuts to my brother and he's going, yeah! So for us, we're like, one of the best days.
Do
but
you
the
have
worst.
Video of that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
That's great. All right. Well, I guess that's that.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. Now, here's something I want to say that... and I try not to be too obsequious with the guests, but I was watching Mythic Quest, which I—that's the name of it, right? Yeah, and which I really liked, and I was watching it because a friend of mine is on the show, and I very quickly was like, "Oh, this is cool. I like this." And then there was an episode, and for the longest time. I was trying to remember it. I thought in my head it was an episode of Black Mirror, but it was a one-off, to use a business term, of you and what's the lady's name? Christina Milotti?
Yes.
Yes. And playing it, I can't, it was so good. And you guys were great.
Thanks, man.
And it was really tonally much different.
Yeah. And it was the origin story of The Office.
Yes.
I believe.
Yeah. It was, and you don't really, I would say you don't even have to be familiar with the show to enjoy it. I mean, yeah. It's just, it's its own encapsulated story.
Yeah.
And just a really, really well done. And you guys were fantastic.
Thanks, man. What I love about streaming is that you can get away with that.
Yeah.
That you can get a call and not be part of a show. Rob just texted and said, do you guys want to do this? And I've been a fan of them and what they're doing with It's Always Sunny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like sure. how they do that.
Yeah.
I like that they're doing like a live action Simpsons and they've been on TV mm-hmm. for 14 years and they might be doing this forever.
Yeah.
And so I was just a yes to kind of see how he does it all. And then very quickly you go like, oh, there's certain people who keep winning in this game. And when you work with them, you see why.
Yeah.
And then there's other people who keep winning and then you work with them and you go like, I don't get it, man.
Yeah.
You've had a good run, but it's going to come to an end. And Rob was one of those guys of like, oh, you have all this figured out. And so for us, it was just, that was a fun one.
Yeah. It's just all around like the writing, the acting, the direction, the feel of it is, it's really cool.
How do you pick your parts? So like for you, when you go from like Mr. Show and that I would assume be the one that puts you really on the map or had Arrested already come out yet?
No, Arrested was way after. Okay. Mr. Show.
So that one was the one that took you from stand up known in the comedy scene and then everybody knew it.
Yeah. Well, everyone didn't know Mr. Show. It was very, when it was out,
right?
Even a few years later. I mean, now way more people know about it, but it wasn't, it was a small, hardcore cult thing. And you know, I don't know if Bob talked about this in, when you were, but you said you saw it on VHS.
Yes.
I'm forgetting the guy's name, but credit to the guy who ran a video store off of Santa Monica Boulevard, who this was his idea. I can't remember his name. And he reached out to us. So we, because of HBO and the contract, and this is pre-DVDs, right?
Right.
They weren't interested in...
HBO wasn't.
In video distribution, videotape. So this guy said... Legally, so if you give me copies of the show on VHS, which we had,
right,
and we had the artwork based on our each season's whatever the promo shots were, and we mass produced. I want to say I'm interrupting myself. He said if you give me the videotapes.
And by the way, he's saying this to you and Bob, not HBO.
To us, yeah.
Cool.
If you give me the videotapes, I can't rent them out, but I can say if you rent whatever,
Bob, I can give it to you.
I can get it for
bootlegs, it's the Grateful Dead. He did the Grateful Dead arc with you guys.
Yeah, but even I mean, the Grateful Dead go, hey, yeah, take it, tape it, I don't care. But we had HBO saying, yes. So we ended up doing that. Then we went, reached out to the cool hipster video stores in each city. So we do Boston and Austin and Minneapolis and Atlanta and Seattle. And we go to each and we'd send a case, and then that's the deal. You can go, if you rent something that nobody's ever going to watch,
take this
Italian horror, what?
Then take this too.
Or take this one, or the sequel, take this two. Either one. You could, if you rent, take this, or take this two.
Take this two, yeah.
Then you would get, you'd
but
get
who's
going
to watch Mr. Show if you got to take this and take this two? Not to be a dick.
Well, you would only get one of them. You'd get take this or take this two.
So
I don't know if the sequel was made yet.
That might have been just
take
this.
So, you'd watch take this.
So good.
It's an awesome. Holy you know, starting man. A young Luke
but
Wilson.
If, yeah, but if you talk about like what started horror for like a new generation,
Luke Wilson. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. For sure.
I was
sure.
going to say the whole world of Take This. Luke yeah. was great.
Take This, Take This 2, Anna Faris Take was This great Again, yeah, yeah, yeah. Take This Some More,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Take This Home, Take This Goes yeah, West, Take yeah. This Goes into Outer Space.
Yeah. A lot of those, I will say, lost me.
Yeah.
But just for me as like a purist.
I think the latter three were yeah. kind of weak.
Which one were you in again?
I was in Take This Honey.
And you got paid.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That yeah. was a money gig.
Yeah, that was all, I mean, it was coupons, but yeah. they all, you know, each coupon, there's boxes of coupons, but so each dope. Coupon, if you look on there, it says, you know, this is worth a tenth of a penny.
Right.
Well, when you've got a million coupons, yeah. Casey, Google tenth of a penny times, not the word times, but the X symbol for times. 1 million. The words 1 million. BC.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's good for you, so man. It's good. Yeah.
And are you getting paid on coupons here at HeadGum?
No. That's old school. This is going way back to the
it was a great
mid-90s.
Year, but a different one, yeah.
No, I get paid in NFTs, and it's all grape NFTs. And yeah,
but that market's going to explode. Oh, I mean, dude, if you listen
I'm
to
waiting.
Logan Paul,
I'm waiting.
Just wait. Logan knows. He's a business guy.
I don't want him to beat me up.
But I will drink Prime.
One time, Bob and I were in New York, and we were going to bicycle. We had it the whole day. You know, I bike a lot in New York, and he loves biking too. So we went from my place in Brooklyn, and the plan was to go Brooklyn, over the bridge, up Riverside Drive, and then kind of back around. And we got into like, you know, somewhere in Soho, whatever, and pretty there's all these people lined up, and we see, and there's like traffic, you know, wooden horse barriers that the cops put up, tons of people for blocks, to the point where we had to get off our bikes, like clogging the streets. And then we noticed, like, they're all like 90% of them are dads and like 15-year-olds, mostly guys, some girls. And I mean, we're talking like into the tens of thousands on like covering Soho, right? As we're coming down. And then we're walking our bikes and we're like, what the fuck's going on? What is this? There's police. They're blocking streets. And I asked this guy, excuse me, what is this? And he's like, oh, hey, you know, and yeah, but what's all this? Oh, the Paul brothers or whatever. And neither Bob or I have any idea what he's talking about. What are they? Who's that? They're, what were they? YouTubers, yep. TikTokers,
big
Vines,
YouTubers, yeah.
YouTube guys. And then, okay, what did they do? They do pranks and they make fun. They make fun around. Of themselves. Like, and they're, it's
massive.
Biggest city in America.
Yeah.
And, they have a police
yeah.
presence to shut down.
Yeah.
Because of these, and then I think Bob pulled out his phone, and these two dumb, goofy motherfuckers, you know.
Just wave, wrestle,
yeah.
and the crowd goes nuts.
It's
crazy.
And they're multi-millionaires, yeah. and we're like, what have we done?
I went to, the first year I did Sundance, it was with Mike Sarah mm-hmm. and Charlene Yee,
mm-hmm.
and we're doing a movie called Paper Heart, and it was mm-hmm. I was so excited.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, I've arrived. I'm cool. I'm a real actor. This mm-hmm. is fucking awesome, dude. And there was a crowd of people on Main Street around somebody. And I swear to God, I thought it was probably going to be like Robert Redford.
Sure.
And I thought, like, he probably, if I'm in the program, he knows me too. I assumed everybody watched everything. It wasn't a business expo.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like looking around and I had that like swelling of pride. I was like, get out of here, fans. Like, let me meet Robert. Talk films. And I kind of looked in, and the biggest crowd was around this woman. And I looked around and I saw it, and it was Hulk Hogan's wife.
Oh.
And,
yeah.
And I had that sinking feeling of, like, it's all dead.
Yeah.
Here we are in Park City. It's, like, romantic. It's snowing. The biggest ticket
yeah.
is Hulk Hogan's wife.
And it's mostly industry.
It's all industry.
And you're like, what?
But you're all around her because they had, like, a new show called, like, Hogan's Rules or right. whatever it was.
Oh, I like that title.
Yeah. Well,
it tells you what it is.
Don't steal it. I don't mean that as that's not a joke.
No,
that's,
no.
That's my idea.
All right.
Even though I said it on your podcast, I own the IP on Hogan's Rules. Okay. I'm not getting all businessy on you.
Okay.
But the sense it's of that would be lawsuit.
Yeah.
But, don't fuck with that one.
Bob and I started, we started riffing this idea, like after that, after we were like looking of Jake Paul as, or Logan Paul, whatever, as a, you know, it starts on this older man and you hear this kind of VO and about his accomplishments, and then you're pulling back and you realize it's the Kennedy Center honors and he's being honored.
Amazing. But,
yeah, he's being honored for his contribution to the arts.
Well, Jake Paul's turn has been really weird. I don't know if you follow MMA or any of that. Or
I know that he's a wrestler, a boxer.
Logan does WWE wrestling, but the younger brother became a boxer, but he just started boxing like professional basketball players and people or MMA guys who don't do striking, and he's just knocking people out.
Yeah.
But then there's the question of like, is he a real boxer? But he keeps doing these big matches. It's getting a lot of people and then beating the hell out of people.
So he's
starting to fight boxers.
Yeah.
But I don't really know who his opponents are. So there'll just be some guy who's also really strong, but everybody's also saying he's paying them.
But he should,
And what a fun game this guy's created if he's paying everybody.
Well, I don't want to kink shame, but people are, if that's what gets you off, you know?
Back to the VHS for a second. It's funny that that was the play because the way we heard of it, my buddy Bill and Oliver, we took like a road trip and we had a friend up there who was like the cool friend.
Mm-hmm.
And we were hanging out at his house and he said, because I think he or a friend worked at a video store. He's like, you guys want to see the funniest shit?
That's how it got out there.
And that was the beginning of like, it used to be Faces of Death.
Yep.
Right? Where it's like, you want to see some crazy shit?
I had all that shit, you know?
And then somebody would show it to you.
Yep.
And you'd be like, dude, I just watched somebody like burn to death. And that was, you want to see some funny shit? And we watched Mr. Show. And that was the beginning of all of us being like, whoa, so to hear the strategy that one person created,
yeah,
that
worked. It wasn't even us. It was a guy.
It's fucking cool.
I can't remember the name of the store. I wish I could. I should know this. It was off of Santa Monica, kind of in the, like near Pico, where the, now that Japanese area is, kind of like Sawtelle.
Cool.
So it was a video store over there. It was his idea. And so we made it, and then we took his idea of like, why are we just doing this here? We should go, and it, you know,
everywhere.
Cost us a couple $100,
who
you
cares?
Know, and I'm saying
it's
it was
awesome,
and it got it out there, and so people, all the comedy folks, all the comedy nerds who we were a part of, you know, and we even did a sketch, like it was a link, I think, the Underground Tape Railroad or what it was called, and it was all about, because I had tons of them, and we would have screenings. We, you know, things that you might have seen at this point. Like, I don't know if you ever saw the DR Live pitch for his movie to Disney.
No,
a guy in Arizona.
Yeah.
Like just things that are now famous. Yeah. In Run Ronnie Run, we did this thing called What You Want, which was this tape that, you know, somebody, a friend of ours, Mike, was editing this stuff for a guru type guy in Marin, and he's like, you got to see this, and then got word that the guy was coming to take the stuff, so he dumped as much as he could onto his computer, gave him back all the materials, took this, put it on video, gave it to us, and then we pass it around. We would have screenings, and we actually did a thing in the Run Ronnie Run about what you want. You just say what you want, and you'll get it. It's the dumbest fucking thing. The original and this guy. Really touchy-feely, fey, you know. Say what you want. I want ocean liner with streamers and clouds. And the other people are like, yes, yes. You know, it's just ridiculous California New Age bullshit. And so we had all these things that we would... Wait, what's the Chicago lady who can't sing who put out...
Chicago lady who can't sing.
Oh, you're going to know. Or Chicago... No, she's... Oh, fuck, what was her name? And she would do songs, videos for songs. God damn it. I will remember this. She's famous now. Yeah. Like, you've seen... I got it. She's not... She wasn't... I don't know if she's still alive, but
pull it up.
Wasn't very attractive and not a good singer at all. And she'd do these songs and sing them and trying to be with her resume and send them out. Amazing. So that got shopped around. Yeah. Farting Preacher. You ever see Farting Preacher?
No.
But God, dude. Robert Tilton. These are all things that were passed around. Yeah, Robert, somebody made a supercut. Before there was that term of Robert Tilton, who spoke in tongues, a TV preacher. And just every time he went like, because he would say, and that's why I do this, because him and I'm and he'd squeeze his eyes and then take a pause. And then the guy would always lay in fart noises. It's funnier than it actually sounds. And the South Park Jesus film, the little 5-minute thing that became South Park, you know, that was floating around. And I mean, there's so many of these things. And are you familiar with Found Footage Festival?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so we've swapped those things. They have a bunch of those. There was a Jewel, which is a supermarket chain in the Midwest, had somebody gave me a training film. For a Jewel training film from the 90s that is just where they're acting. It's great. It's great. And what to do, what not to do, and the acting is just is phenomenal. The best. Yeah. So all those things we would swap. Now you can go on the internet click and see it.
But it used to be when somebody showed you something, it meant something back then.
Yeah, and it was really the only way you could see it.
Yes.
And it was special, you know?
I will say about what I like about podcasts and what I like about that era, and when I had my two-man show and we traveled around with it, I like that it's feeling like it's going back to having a small business and trying to build that small business. Mm. And I feel like what I've liked about Hollywood and this game is that I've been on a ride, and the ride takes you places, and for a press tour, for anything else. The money comes in. This is what you do. Then there's a whole PR meeting that you're not even part of. And you go, okay. And if you take a big studio job, they tell you what to do and you do it. And the only control you have is between action and cut. You do your best, but who cares about
that? And even then you don't have.
Even then. And then the
control.
Final result, whatever it's going to be, is going to be.
Yep.
And when Gareth was trying to get me into podcasts for a while, I wasn't into the idea for a while. And then the thing that finally broke it was this idea of like, oh, it's like an old sketch show. It's like you're building a thing, and then you're like, oh, do we go live? Do we go somewhere? And you're like, I don't know. And you're like, oh, then you could go to a city the way we used to, and you start building and seeing the numbers rise, and when people find things, I'm like, oh, it reminds me so much of a different era. And it feels so fun.
And I'm having a blast. I mean, this is really enjoyable, and, you know, I came into it somewhat reluctantly, but I'm really enjoying it. And
we're both late. Because this is late to come into the podcast game.
Oh, yeah.
Like I did Dax's, and I was talking about this one, and he goes, when he started his, they were originally going to call Armchair the 1 millionth podcast. Because he's like,
that was a while ago.
He's like, I already felt we had missed it. Mm-hmm. Years later, you're talking about starting a podcast. And I'm like, yeah. And I'll tell you what, though. It's like whenever you start, there's a whole world. You find a base pretty fast, and you're like, it's pretty neat.
But also, it's not to denigrate any part of this, but the reason I started to do it, I mean, I'm enjoying it now and I'll continue to do it, was to get more people to be familiar with my work so that I could have bigger, better audiences for stand-up. And I really enjoy touring, and I have, you know, I'll do sold-out theaters and stuff, and it's great. But the idea that I'd be out touring, and, you know, doing an hour and 15, hour 20-minute set is fucking hard. You have to work to get it all, to craft the material, to craft the set, to do all this stuff. You know, the touring is a grueling process, and but I love it, and I enjoy it. But I'd be out on tour after working for a year to get a set ready, and it's like, oh, I can't do this theater. Oh, I love that theater. Why am I doing this other theater? Oh, because they're doing a live podcast of, you know, two chicks and a guy talking about murder mysteries.
Right.
And it's sold out. Totally. And it's $58 a ticket. Like, what the fuck am I working my ass off for? These guys balls are going around every city
the
I go to.
Jake Paul in it. We're in a world of Jake Pauls.
So, I mean, that was part of it. It was like a little bit of a frustration, jealousy. But the idea is, if you know, people are listening to this podcast going, oh, I didn't know he had a special out
then
on.
Then maybe I'll go see this.
Let me finish, 800poundgorilla.com. then, yeah, next time he rolls into town, I'll check him out.
Yeah.
And the two help each other out, you know?
I think I got into it. I directed a movie, and from writing to directing to doing everything, it took about a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And then with reshoots, and then with notes, mm-hmm. and then with putting it in front of a crowd, and then testing it and doing it again.
Sure.
I think for me, I was like, I want to just make something that is highly produced, that it, we do have thought, we edit it down, and then it goes out and there's two a week. Mm-hmm. And so like it or not like it, I wanted to do the development while it's out.
So how many of those were here to help have you done now?
I think
now?
We've recorded over 100. We have a bunch banked, wow. but we've released about 50.
Okay.
And so I like that. I like working. I like the grind. And I like the idea that it's not all coming out in 2 years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, so if I do another TV show, if I do a movie and I have something that I'm now developing.
Sure.
While that's happening. And then the thing that really tripped me out was when I was doing press for my movie, I just had a lot of the cast come do this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is now a press stop.
That's
and
what
I was like, this is wild,
that's going. That's
man.
Going back to the new, you know, the new, not style, but the what we how we promote stuff.
Yes,
and it's vastly superior
because you're also promoting to an audience that you know already likes it.
Yep.
And then what I'm starting to think of and getting excited about is the idea of if the audience gets bigger and bigger, when you're making something, you just go directly to that audience.
Yeah,
you just create a website, you yep. go directly to your group, and then you could sell it to a streamer at a second release.
Have you had Kelly Ripa on?
Kelly?
Yeah,
and she hasn't come on yet.
Hmm. Wouldn't you want to reach her audience?
I would love to if she would come.
Okay. You guys heard that?
But how did you pronounce her name?
Kelly
Ripa or something.
Kelly Ripa?
Kelly Ripa, yeah.
Well, what did I say?
I heard Kelly Ripa.
You did?
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
I feel like I should balance out.
No, it's okay. I mean, I could be wrong, but I did not hear Kelly Ripa. Maybe it was just jarring to hear.
Oh, are you saying Ripa?
Ripa.
Oh, like the Boston...
Kelly, yeah, like a Ripa.
Oh, fucking
he's
Kelly
a fucking
Ripa.
Kelly Ripa. Oh, she's George. The real Ripa, yeah.
Kelly Ripa.
Yes.
No, I was saying Kelly Ripoff.
Kelly Ripoff.
Yeah.
Who's she ripping off?
No, it's like a Polish name, yeah. Ripoff.
Oh, Ripoff.
Ripoff.
Yeah. I would take Seacrest.
Of the, you would what?
I would take Seacrest on the show. He's a killer.
Seacrest. A boat?
Ryan?
Is that a boat? You would have a boat on the show?
He's still passing out VHSs? It's 2024. Ryan Seacrest, the king. Of all media.
No, that's Howard Stern. I thought that was Howard Stern.
No.
I thought Ryan Seacrest was the queen of all media. Hello! And with that, we will go to Jake end every show with a question from my daughter. Mm. And this question is... Let me pick one. Usually I have one ready, and I apologize for not. Okay, here it is. So, Jake, where do you stand, Israel v. Palestine? Okay, here's the question from Arlo for you, Jake Johnson.
Arlo.
And do you want to, is there anything you want to plug? Let people know about it?
We're here to help.
We're here to help Jake and Gareth Reynolds. They're not married. Jake
we'll
Johnson
release
and Gareth
Reynolds. David Cross episode when you release this one, so you can listen to
it. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, great. That's
we'll push them around each other.
What do they call that then?
Cross-promoting
synergy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so listen to, I just did it earlier, and it was a blast. It was fun. So here is the question from Marlo. Since lava is in a volcano, why doesn't it burn the volcano down?
That's a solid question.
Since lava is in a volcano,
why doesn't it burn
the volcano down?
Dense rock, Arlo.
Dense rock.
Because, you know, you can't burn everything. If you ever had a fire in your backyard, mm-hmm. right? Or anywhere, you go camping.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a grill, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the fire is going to cook the meat, but it doesn't cook the grill, correct?
Yes.
So it doesn't melt everything. Well, the mountain is the grill. So she should think about it as a big grill around the dirt, the mud, whatever it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And the fire is within, but you need that grill to protect the meats.
So you're equating molten lava with a barbecue grill.
Fire's fire. Heat's heat.
Well, yeah, there's different variances. I mean, there's extremes, I'd say.
Okay. I mean, it definitely gets hotter and it definitely gets colder.
Right. So this is cold enough because I believe the lava is already melted mantle and crust and rock. And
Mr. Science over here.
It's not official yet, but by the time this podcast comes out, I may be officially Mr. Science. We're still waiting.
Congrats.
The place is out of Calgary, Canada, so it takes a little while to get the
But it'd be a great results. Title. But I think that's the final answer. And what's your final answer as the father of this child?
I will let her listen to this, and then when I'll turn it off and correct you.
In your own time.
Yeah. I want her to go to school and report on that. Well, Jake Johnson, I don't know if you're familiar with Friends, but Jake Johnson said, all right, man, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Senses Working Overtime is a HeadGum podcast created and hosted by me, David Cross. The show is edited by Katie Skelton and engineered by Nicole Lyons with supervising producer Emma Foley. Thanks to Demi Druchin for our show art and Mark Rivers for our theme song. For more podcasts by HeadGum, visit HeadGum.com or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and maybe we'll read it on a future episode. I'm not going to do that. Thanks for listening.
That was a HeadGum podcast.
Hey guys, just announced a big show in Central Park on the Summer Stage, part of the Summer Stage series, called David Cross and Super Pals. That's going to be August 8th. It's going to be amazing. Got all kinds of really cool special guests. I know we got Bob Odenkirk, Sarah Silverman, Sean Patton, Fred Armisen, many, many, many more. Go to officialdavidcross.com. That'll have all the information for that. And the pre-sale, it just went out, and the pre-sale code is FUNFUN. I believe it's all caps. FUNFUN. David Cross and Super Pals. August 8th, Central Park. Come down.